Thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Qatar Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, guys, so we are back for the 23rd out of 24 rounds, the Qatar or Qatar Grand Prix, however you would like to say it. I mean, it's only been in the schedule for a few seasons, right? It's relatively new compared to most of the tracks.
And what a track. It is a pretty beast of a track for a Formula One car.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it just looks crazy, all the lights they have all around it. Pretty crazy spectacle. Fans from all over the place were there. And obviously, it is the last sprint race of the season. Lots of action all weekend long. So we should just jump right into it. Obviously, only one practice session and not much really going on there. So on to sprint qualifying. Once again, Checo with another qualifying session being knocked out in the first part. We can't really say much more about Checo, and we'll get on to Checo probably at the end. But another bad showing from him. And Yuki also out in the first part of qualifying, so not great from him trying to get the spot that Checo is currently sitting in. Both the Astons knocked out in the second part of qualifying, but Liam and Pierre were able to get through to the final part, and then ultimately Lando was able to take sprint pole with George next to him, Oscar and Carlos starting behind them. And it's the first time that Max has started outside the top five for a sprint race, starting in P6.
I guess the only thing that I noticed going on was the preparation for tires seemed a little, different for everybody, and certainly a very detailed process to get them to the right window. I thought it was just Ferrari that was the only one that didn't do like the push and then slow and then push, and they seemed on pace. I thought maybe that was one of the reasons that they weren't up there on the first row, at least one of the cars, because of how they prepared the tires, because they seemed quick. But McLaren at this point, they seemed just dominant. They seemed like they were going to wax everybody.
I mean, George was kind of like the surprise getting it up there in P2. Not that the Mercedes have looked bad. They've looked pretty good as of late. But from what we saw in the one practice session, it looked like it was really the McLarens, pulling it away a bit. And Lewis was, I guess, right behind Max. So, a mixed up grid to start the sprint. Checo and Franco ended up starting from the pit lane, taking new parts because they were all the way in the back anyway. And then Lando got a really good jump off the line, was able to keep the lead into turn one, but Oscar coming up from P3, getting side by side and going around the outside of George into turn one. And then by the time they got to turn two, he had the inside line, was able to take P2 away from George and, have a McLaren 1-2 through the first lap. Pretty great driving from the two of them and not crashing into each other so early on in the race. So that was nice. Lewis making up some spots, and then Max moving backwards from his worst starting position. He was all the way back in P10 by the end of lap one. He got bogged down by the Ferraris, I think, into turn one, and then got passed by either Nico or Kevin and Pierre.
Yeah, everybody checked up. I think it was Sainz that kind of lost the rear a little bit on the exit of one, and he checked up Charles. Charles checked up Max, and things just kind of got, all messed up there, and that's what pushed Max back.
But yeah, that was the first time in any race all season that Max has lost positions on the first lap.
Oh, good stat.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I couldn't believe that to be true, but it is. And did you see Franco passing Checo in the on the pit exit, leaving the pit lane?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know what Checo was doing there. He didn't come ready to race.
No. Franco just went right around him and was ahead of him for pretty much the whole entire race.
Poor old Checo.
Yeah.
What is it? When the light goes green, you're supposed to start or something?
Yeah, said. I've heard something like that. Yeah, he like the lights went green. He kind of like was going, but in a very slow way. And then I think Colapinto got just confused of what was happening and then finally just decided to take him on the outside.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com. Where you can put your theories to the test.
On lap four, George went down the inside of turn one to take back P2 from Oscar, but Oscar was able to keep the position with George running out of room. Had a couple moments between the two of them during this race. And Max was able to finally get back by Pierre at lap 11 and back into the points in P8. And yeah, we had another moment of Oscar defending aggressively into turn one with George breathing down his neck, and he moved to the right kind of late. I mean, nothing ever came of it. I even thought it was a little bit aggressive, but I guess he didn't. That was only his first move, so it was allowed. And I skipped that Lewis and Charles had that one moment where they kind of bumped wheels and Charles was able to take P5 from Lewis ultimately, but a little bit of hard racing between your future drivers next season.
Well, turn one definitely was where a lot of the action was happening after that long straight. You were seeing some really nice side-by-sides going multiple corners, which was really cool. Yeah, you know, Oscar definitely got decisive on the exit of two, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
Turn one, two, three even was where all it was going down.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is really it for the race, other than after the very last corner, right before the checkered flag, Lando slows down to let Oscar by so that he can get the sprint win that I think in Brazil Oscar gave up for Lando while still in the fight for the championship. So a nice gesture, I guess. And McLaren, as a team, it doesn't matter. They still got 1-2.
Yeah, so that's all they're looking for, right? Just to maximize their points. It's head-to-head between, is it them and Ferrari, basically?
Yeah.
The Mercedes are out of it for the constructors.
Yeah, Red Bull at this point had, you know, a sniffing chance.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear if the McLaren, was that, I am assuming it was team decided before the race, if they were in that position. I didn't really hear any. Yeah. You know what the deal was there. I can't imagine it was just Lando on his own at the very end thinking, okay, I'll give it to him. But did you hear anything or no?
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. But it's a kind of decision that you can make towards the end of the race. I mean, maybe they've talked about it in passing, you know.
Yeah.
They clearly know that the focus now is not to race each other, it's to help the team out, but it's all good for the stats. And if, you know, somebody helped you in the past. I mean, we know that Max and Checo have tried to do something similar in the past, but Max tends to not repay. He just keeps it for himself.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Max. I think it's good for Lando to return the favor. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, at this point, there's no other championship to win other than the drivers. And as long as they're getting the points they need,
yeah,
they're all getting the races that, I guess, the amount of races that they earned, considering that, you know, Oscar had that 1-1 and Lando had this 1-1. So it all will look good on paper in the end also. So
was the one that Oscar gave, was that a sprint race or was that a regular race?
It was a sprint race, I
believe. It was?
Yeah.
That makes sense then.
So yeah, and then George rounding out the podium for the sprint. That was really it. Not really all that eventful in the end. And then on to the qualifying for the Grand Prix. The big surprise through the first session is both of the Saubers were able to make it through to Q2. I mean, where did this pace come from these guys? We haven't seen anything like this all season.
Yeah. I mean, what's their goal this season is just to prepare for next season, I guess. But they found something, so that's good for them. What it is, I don't know.
Right.
Too little too late for Bottas.
Well, it might not be too little because, you know, there's something to be said for getting a point rather than a goose egg. So just get anything before the season ends. Is good. Nobody likes that, but yeah.
Moral victory.
Exactly. A moral victory over zero.
Yeah. Well, a new team coming in 2026, so who knows who could get those seats.
Yeah.
Yep. Big surprise with the Saubers. Checo was barely able to get through to Q3, but was able to in P10. Pierre just missed out, I think it was by less than a tenth of a second, along with both the Saubers and the Astons. I mean, even still, the Saubers getting P12 and P13, it's by far their best shot to grab any points on the season. So, good on them.
Well, I'm looking back to the sprint qualifying, or the sprint race. At the very end, Checo was going to retire the car, but they pitted him, swapped out his front wing to test out a different aero package. And I did remember noting that, like, Red Bull usually makes good decisions. And I don't know if it was just that, but, you know, they clearly had a big jump up in qualifying pace. So it could have been potentially just some of the testing they did with the non-point laps that they were running.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's I didn't realize that, but that's, I guess, smart, right? But you got to be quick on your feet. You got to have everything ready to go and, you know.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. But yeah, Max ultimately was able to take pole. I don't know if you noticed it though during the qualifying. I did not, but I found out later that he was given a one spot grid penalty for slowing down on track as George was coming around to take his fast lap and potentially impeded him a little bit, but essentially they just swapped on the front row.
I mean the penalty, I saw the IMCA from George later on. Basically, they're not jostling, but everybody tries to find space on the track, right, so they can run their hot lap. Like, George wasn't on a hot lap, he was also preparing, so he was looking for space. And he was talking to his engineers and they were saying, oh, watch out for cars ahead. But he sort of comes around the corner and there's Verstappen like braking pretty hard. So George has to take like evasive action. And then ultimately George just goes around him. You know, one spot grid penalty, you know, in a Grand Prix, it's not a massive, penalty, is it? But
yeah,
you know, maybe it was deserved, but.
Well, the Red Bull guys were not happy about it.
Well, yeah, I guess they all want their stats and their.
Well, apparently there was a confrontation between Max and George. I don't know. It was really? Some article I read that Max said something to the effect of, you know, like essentially telling George that it was him and his FIA buddies that, you know, good job with that decision or something along those lines.
Because George is he's like the driver's representative, right? In front of the regulators, as it were. Wow. But I guess Max doesn't have any much respect for him.
No.
Well, we'll see. I mean, George is starting to try to big up next year a little bit, like, oh, we're going to take it to Max. We're going to, you know, give it, show it, make him work for the title. I don't know. Good luck, George, I guess, but I don't see it happening. I don't see George at quite at Max's level, but
well,
we'll see. But yeah, Max doesn't have, like, does Max have love for anybody on there?
No.
On the career? Not
really. Used to be him and Lando, right? But after this year, doesn't seem like,
until they had a battle.
Exactly.
Right. Maybe Danny Rick was his last like good mate on the grid.
I feel like Charles and Max have maintained a good right. relationship even after battling pretty hard at the beginning of last season.
Yeah.
They've known each other a long time. Yeah, right. Yeah. They came up together, yeah.
Well, and I think also the distinguishment, like that was the year that he was battling. I think when Max and Charles had their first battles, that was when Max was battling Lewis for the championship, and Lewis and him were racing each other the way we all know. And the times that Charles would race him, it was fair. They gave each other room. I think that's, you know, if you cross Max's line, then forget it. Gloves are off.
Yeah.
Forever. There's never. Yeah, exactly.
Even before when he started it. But yeah, so we have it lined up with George and Max on the front row, Lando and Oscar right behind them. No, nothing really crazy in the pre-race stuff that I noticed, and then on to the race. So Max and Lando have great jumps, get the inside line into turn one. Lando and Max going almost side by side into turn two, but Max is able to keep the lead. And then we get a safety car coming out on the first lap. I mean, there were quite a few crashes going on this first lap. I mean, the first one with Franco and Ocon and Nico. Nico was the one that kind of locked up and knocked the other two out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he just understeered into.
Yeah.
Who was left of him at that point?
Franco and Ocon.
I think it was Ocon in the middle and Franco on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just popped them.
Nico was able to kind of limp it around with the tire falling off the wheel, but the other two were out of the race on the first lap. And that's the 16th crash for Williams on the season.
Oof.
And I'm not sure if also Lance and Albon's crash on that lap counts as lap crash 17, or if they happened like at the same place around the same time. So does that just all count as one big crash? I don't know. But Lance and Albon also, Lance just taking Albon out. They both kind of spun out. Lance ended up getting a 10-second penalty for it.
Yeah. Albon was on the radio complaining immediately. Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
Me. Like I could see it coming. Yeah, he wasn't happy.
It was actually not as bad as I thought after hearing Albon say that and knowing it was Lance. When they finally showed the replay, it wasn't as bad as I thought. You know, Albon probably could have pushed a little bit wider. But yeah, I mean, Lance just kind of did the same thing Nico did. Like the tires were just so brutal, especially the fronts, that they were all understeering in mid-corner and they just couldn't keep it tight.
You don't need the car to slide or to have to correct much sideways a couple of feet and you're into somebody else immediately. I thought that at the start with, I just happened to be looking. I don't know why I wasn't quite looking at pole position, but I saw Lewis's jump start at the beginning as well. That you could see it pretty clearly from the camera angle. I was like,
you noticed it real time?
In real time, yeah. I'm like, that car was rolling forward, but then it actually worked out terribly for him because he had to back off exactly when the light went green and then he just got totally swamped. But I thought Lando as well, going around the outside turn one with Max, like he was right there. Like if he kept his foot in it, like you feel he could have had it. But, you know, like you said, cold tires, who knows? We saw people making that pass all through the sprint race and the weekend around the outside, staying in it. But we know that also Verstappen likes to close the door on the outside all the time, right? He doesn't always give people room. Right. He'll just run you right off the road. So maybe that was the better move for Lando. But you were probably pretty excited, Jason, right, when you saw him look like he was going to go around the outside. But
yeah, for a moment.
For a moment. For a moment, yeah.
Yeah.
And George, yeah, just couldn't, just the big loser out of the whole thing, right? From first to third.
Yeah, not good for George. I mean, it was pretty fast for him that he's moving back, but the safety car's out for four laps or so. Lap five, it is in. The front stays pretty much the same. We see, and then we see Liam and Botov spinning off through the back of the camera. And Bottas was able to keep it going, only losing a little bit of time, but Liam fell all the way to the back, and then he got a penalty for causing a collision. Bottas just kind of had to avoid it and went way wide off track, but was able to keep it straight.
Yeah, he just sent it. It was,
yeah,
the rear was just not with him from the beginning of the entry to that corner, and he was just getting too aggressive. Liam, same thing with Franco. They had these just great beginnings to their F1 careers, and it's easy to nitpick now. I mean, they're still so young, but they definitely are having more trouble as we see them out on track more, just making rookie mistakes, which is kind of okay, but you kind of wish they'd be a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, I mean, maybe looking good for some of the more experienced drivers that, you know, didn't always get the full chance. Maybe they'll get some shots back in it, but we'll see. Lap seven, Max has already pulled out of DRS range of Lando behind him. He takes the fastest lap, but Lando is also pulled out of DRS range to George behind him, who has Oscar behind him trying to make a move. We hear that Lance wants to quit on the race, but they've convinced him to come in to take his penalty, but then they come back around, and then he does ultimately retire from the race. So
it's hard to hear drivers say things like that, right, Mark? I can see you shaking your head like they just want to, like, how you would like give up one of your children to drive a Formula One car, Mark, right?
Yes, all three. All three.
No, not even a negotiation. Take everything.
I mean, it's crazy to hear a professional driver in Formula One on lap whatever we're at under 10 laps saying, you just want to give up. And then, you know, you attach it to what you stereotype, or sometimes he proves as his personality, as this rich spoiled brat who's there because daddy paid for it. And then, you know, you hear that and it's like he just has nowhere to go.
Yeah, but you sometimes hear something similar from Lewis as well.
Yeah.
He gets grumpy. Yeah.
Another spoiled
and others.
Brat.
It's not
a poor spoiled brat.
Exactly. It's not unique to Lance, but yeah, it's always frustrating when you hear drivers talk like that. You never know what could happen in the race, right? You have no idea.
Exactly. Especially this race, which, like, you know, everybody was expecting some safety cars and things.
Anyway, exactly.
I mean, we've had two already in the first. I guess not two safety cars, but two crashes in the first 10 laps or so. Yep. So who knows? But then we see that Lewis got a false start on the start of the race. And it was pretty evident once we saw the replay that he did. So he got a 5-second penalty for that. So he'll want to get by Checo fairly quickly, but it was just so hard to pass here. He was not able to do it. Anytime soon, Lando is staying within within 2 seconds of Max ahead of him, keeping him within the same time, doing fairly the same amount of laps and kind of trading back and forth fastest laps between the two of them as they both start to pull away from George. But Pierre was able to get ahead of Yuki into turn one and get back into the points. And then on the next lap, Yuki fell to Alonso. And then on the next lap after that, he got passed by Zhou with Bottas right behind him in DRS range. And you just hear him say on the radio, not yelling like we have heard from Yuki so much, just like, you know, I'm doing what I can.
He was trying to make his car as wide as possible. But I mean, it was the track is plenty wide enough for the cars to go into that first corner. So he was basically putting his car in the middle of the track, but they were just driving right around the outside. Yeah. There was nothing they could do.
Well, it was like a tale of two races at this point. I think right now is when you heard the announcers talking about how like the front six were just kind of cruising, and you could tell everybody was giving themselves like a 2 second gap, just giving the tires the break. And then the midfield was just going off, like people just passing crazy. I mean, you just said Joe passed somebody. When's the last time we said that on this podcast?
Maybe never.
But yeah, it was good battles already happening back there, which was cool to see.
Yeah.
So much to fight for, so much money.
Absolutely. And in the range for some good points, especially for that P6 battle between Alpine Haas and Williams. Oscar getting a little overexcited at the final quarter, and you know, he was able to keep DRS in that moment with George, but he had lost so much time that he fell out of it after that and was not able to really get back in that range behind him. George was ultimately the first of the leaders to come into pit, and he has a 7 second stop, which is really not good. Trouble with his rear right tire, and falls behind Alonso in P11 in quite a bit of traffic. And he will lose some time to Oscar if all the other pit stops go well, and the Ferraris as well. So yeah, George's race going from starting in P1 to not good at all. And then Lewis had a big snap of oversteer a few laps after that while chasing Checo, and he loses almost a second to him. Yeah, a lot of guys just struggling to stay on the track. Then we hear Lando's engineer ask him to put as much pace as he can to try and catch Max. I mean, I was thinking they're trying to, you know, get as close as they can to undercut him in the pit stop. They didn't end up coming in around then, but then we see a wing mirror on the entry into turn one. Did you guys see who's, I know they showed it. I just happened to not be looking.
It was Albon's car that it came off of. It was the right wing mirror, and he was just going down the straight and it just flew off. Like, I don't know if it had been, I mean, Albon had already been in one accident, so maybe it had been weakened in some collision. But yeah, it just released from the car and, landed on the inside of the track.
Yeah.
And the guys were talking about it for like a couple of laps, right?
Yeah. So they were just waving double yellows as opposed to bringing out either a virtual safety car or a safety car to...
Right. To have people... clear it off the track. Yeah.
And it was the only
I need clarity on the flags, because I heard they were waving double yellows, then I don't
single
even
single yellows.
Confusion that what flags were being waved.
Well, it wasn't really flags. It's they call it a flag, but it's lights. Signs, right? They have lights on the start finish straight. I mean, there was one yellow light basically halfway down the straight on the left hand side. And obviously, everybody's looking for Lando's perspective, right? On when the light was shining. So, because it was stop, if you kept that light on, with nobody's going to overtake in the race because everybody was overtaking into the first corner. But with that light on, and if you've got to slow down, that takes away all the overtaking opportunities. But I saw from Lando's in-car, I've seen two videos, one which shows the light clearly on way ahead of him as he's coming down the straight. And I've seen another video which seems to show the light coming on just as he's passing it. So I don't know if those are two different laps.
I mean, the Max slowed. It sounds like most people slowed. I don't know if they investigated everybody, but...
Exactly. So if Max slowed and Max was in front of Lando... The light couldn't have come on just as Lando was passing it. That must be on a previous lap. And then the next time around, Max slowed, and then you see the video of Lando not lifting.
And then, you know, like, again, just highlighting the brilliance of Max Verstappen. Like, he was the first one calling it out. Like, you know, he didn't lift. He knew it immediately.
How would he even know that? Like, from just looking backwards, like gauging the distance, he just has a feel for how far back the guy should be. And how often do we talk about people's lap times changing when there are yellow flags? Are they going slow enough through corners? I mean, usually yellows are on corners, right? Where there's been accidents. Do we do we really monitor how much slower they're going through there than normally? Are stewards looking at that data? They probably have all the data. But yeah, you're right. Max was on it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately it was Bottas that drove over the wing.
Bottas was trying to let somebody through.
Right.
Destroyed the wing.
I think he was letting Charles through.
Yeah, destroyed the wing and just turned it into basically razor blades across the track, I guess.
I mean, like, it was there for four laps.
Two, three, four laps for sure.
A while. Like, what the heck was Bottas doing? Like, everybody must have known and seen it there. It's not like it's that small.
The team
had to have told them, like, hey, you know, this far down, it's right there. Like,
maybe.
I mean, we're all waiting for it to happen, but I just can't believe somebody actually drove over it.
They should have gotten that thing off the track way before we got to that.
Absolutely.
That's the real answer, is that, the race director or the stewards or whoever's call it is, you just got to bring out a safety car. It's just, or have them drive through the pit lane. Yeah, safety car, whatever it is that you can do. But they had to, clear it up.
Go ahead.
That's the only place where we have seen any passing, really, whole entire weekend. So we have a yellow flag there that's slowing cars down and they can't pass. Like, you have to get that off the track or else it's going to be the most boring race ever.
Yeah.
Right. And there was talk of, like, you know, they don't want to maybe create an unfair advantage if they call the VSC at a certain time, which I kind of get, but at the end of the day, like, the job is to prioritize safety, make it quickly happen and move on.
It is what it is, right? What else can you do? Like, it's, you don't have a choice.
And it ended up way more unfair for Lewis and Carlos, who got huge punctures.
Both got punctures. Yeah. Destroyed their races completely.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of understand Lewis is wanting to feel like he wants to quit at this point, whether or not it's a good look that he was saying it or not. But he'd already gotten the one penalty, and then he gets a puncture right as the lap is starting and has to limp all the way around and is in the last one on track by the time he comes in. And he comes out, a whole entire lap down, right? Because when he comes out of the pits under the safety car after it finally comes out for the mirror exploding, he's right behind Max, right? So he has to unlap himself when the
safety car is out. He ends up unlapping himself. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and that's when I think he went into the pits in the middle of the pack, and Lando was behind him. But Lewis forgot to press the speed limiter button or something. So he went in too fast, slammed on his brakes, realizing it. Lando then had to slam on his brakes, smoked his tires behind him. But then Lewis got himself another penalty there for speeding in the pit lane.
Yeah.
So just a uncharacteristic loss of concentration from Lewis. But not the first time he's had button problems, right? What was that race where he had to restart, where he pressed the wrong button?
Baku.
And Baku went
Jensen
straight on.
Button?
Yeah. No. It's not a button on Jensen button. He pressed Jensen button. He pressed the wrong button on his...
The party button.
At Baku and ended up going straight on.
Yeah, like when he had the smoking tires.
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, bad to worse for Lewis.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll hear a lot about the new race director, Rui Marquez, in the next week or so, up until the next race weekend, about how this all unfolded. But yeah, like you said, we heard Lando complain that Lewis brake tested him in the pit lane.
It wasn't a brake test. It was a screw up by Lewis, but
But then lap 40, the safety car is back in, and Max weirdly has really bad traction trying to accelerate twice. His back tires kind of spin out as he's trying to go. And Lando was able to get side by side with him into turn one, but Lando ended up going wide and has to back out and Max was able to keep P1. That was really his big moment during the race. And I guess this is where Checo ends up losing drives and spinning out, and causes him to get hit from behind, and is ultimately out of the race. And then Nico spins out into the gravel, bringing out yet another safety car.
Yeah,
I don't know that Checo got hit, because I think at first they were speculating that, and then
it looked like he had some weird movement where someone.
Well, yeah, I think he lost drive, maybe hydraulic, who knows? But I think after they showed the replays, he didn't actually get hit. Like the rear end just snapped on him when whatever failed on the car, is what I think happened there.
Yeah, I didn't see who it was, if it was any contact.
And Lando, it was similar to the start of the race, right? He was on that outside Spock trying to go around the outside of Verstappen, but Verstappen just lets his car go wide on the corner, squeezes out the space, and Lando backs off again. So Max can just do that all day long, I guess.
Yep. It seems to be okay. At least
leaving a car's width is for other people.
Yeah. I think that Lando did kind of go wide on his own, which gave Max the leeway to kind of move over there, because Lando had already kind of lost it. But I mean, who knows if it would have made a difference anyway. But yep, here we go again. And Max this time jumps way early, not messing around on the restart, and gets a good half second advantage already by the time they're past the checkered or past the start line. And then Lando has to look behind him in his mirrors at Charles, but he was able to keep him behind. And then we hear that Lando gets a 10-second stop and go penalty. I don't know when the last time I've seen a stop and go penalty that's, you know, has to be enforced either in the next three laps or they get a harsher penalty. But for, like we were saying, not slowing under the double yellows, and Lewis ended up getting a drive-through penalty for speeding in the pit lane. Just worse day for Lewis.
I mean, the 10-second stop-and-go penalty, like, it's definitely overly harsh. It has to be. But you do have to be prepared, like when there's an incident on the track, to slow down or to stop. But in that particular situation, it'd been in that spot for lap after lap, I suppose, the wing mirror, and you're not expecting to stop like at full speed on a straight. I don't know what the penalty should have been.
I know that's what I asked myself. Is it was harsh? I think partly because we haven't seen any harsh penalties really. You know, it's either 5 seconds and maybe you get a 10-second penalty depending on what's going on. Right. But when was the last time we even saw a drive-through?
Right,
you don't see really any of that stuff. So it definitely seemed harsh for that reason. It also seemed harsh for looking at the way that things unfolded with that mirror on the track and the confusion and the length that it took for them to make a decision. I don't know where I stand, like you, Martin. I don't know what the right penalty should have been. It definitely should have been harsh, but maybe a drive-through.
It shouldn't have been a double wave yellow flags, right? Isn't that Nick put his take in here, and I agree with him that is supposed to be for a significant incident on track, brings out a double yellow flag, which would bring cars to potentially have to stop, right? Right. We're talking about a mirror on the track.
Yeah, that's been there for a few laps and people are going through at, you know, 150 to 200 miles an hour. Yeah, it's about a 40-second penalty when you add it all up, right? Yeah. Between the pit stop and the 10 seconds. And they could do any other number of penalties less than that, starting with, 5-second penalties, 10-second penalties, drive through up to the stop and go. So,
right.
Yeah.
Like there was no people that could be harmed on the side of the track.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Weird.
But Lando ends up basically, because the cars are all bunched up from the restart, he's basically at the back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, apart from the guys that are out of the race, he's down in...
Yep. He literally falls to last. Yeah. P15 on the track.
Last. Yeah.
When they told him, when they replayed the radio and you hear Lando's voice, he was just like, for what?
Yeah. Like,
what? Yeah. I still don't know where I stand. It was all a pretty big mess.
You can't have drivers ignoring yellow flags. Fine. So they're like, make an example of him, I guess. But yeah.
I find it hard to believe he was the only one that did that too. I haven't looked at every single onboard, but
right,
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, agreed.
This is where Lewis tries to retire from the race.
Yeah, just retire the car. No, yeah. Lewis, stay out.
Yeah. He does come in to serve his penalty and does go back out there. He ultimately is last after that, after the drive through. Kevin was able to get by Albon into P9, into turn one. Lando has already gotten back up into P13, taking fastest laps pretty much every lap that he goes, just trying to get back up into the points and salvage something from their very good constructor's position, which has now been blown wide open. Albon's just dropping back now. Bottas able to get by Albon, and both of the Saubers are in points positions at this moment in the race. Never would have expected that.
Yeah.
And then Albon gets a 10-second penalty for causing a collision. I don't even know. Is this Checo? Like, I don't know what collision they're talking about.
Collision that was, yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, so odd there, but it just popped up. Don't remember that collision at all. Let's see. Lando then gets by Bottas, pushing him back out of the points, but Lando back into P10. George gets noted for a safety car infringement. He ultimately does get a 5-second penalty for that, but he has Pierre 7 seconds behind him. So nothing ever comes, or that doesn't really affect him all that much. And Max takes his second win in 3 races, the 9th win of the season, with Charles and Oscar rounding out the podium positions. I guess Max back to winning ways towards the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, when he was going to wobble and couldn't win a race to save his life, he's just putting in a show, right?
Yeah.
And this weekend in particular, being, after the sprint race,
right,
it looked like they were dead in the water. Yeah. And they didn't have a car. The balance was completely off. And all of a sudden, they're in it.
Yeah, he didn't look troubled all race, did he? Once he took the lead, you know, Lando had a little sniff. The two of them drove off the front of the pack, and that was it. Like, it was a very easy race for Verstappen, right? Was never really troubled. Maybe on the restart after the safety car a little bit, but again,
I wonder if he didn't get the lead so quickly, what things would have looked like. Because for sure, dirty air was massive at this track. It was such a disadvantage. I mean, look at the difference between Piastri and Lando in the sprint race. So who knows? But, you know, he shouldn't have been near the front after the sprint race. And it's just crazy that he got pole and put himself in that position.
Yeah, I mean, Lando did get pretty close right until he got that 10-second stop and go penalty. Like, he was looking at another opportunity to pass, but by that point there was no use.
Joe
getting the best finishing spot of his career in P7. Pretty impressive for him.
Yeah. I mean, is that his first ever points, or is he
scored a point in his first race.
Oh, okay. Okay. But that's his first points this year, obviously. Not first points for Sauber this year. And he's only got one more race to go, right? He's out next
year.
That's
right.
So a little parting gift, and, you know, maybe he can take that over to next week. We'll see.
It does stink that, like, I mean, you've had no chance to see what he really is. He certainly hasn't been, like, bad or horrible or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, Bottas, I think, has probably got the lead and wins and pole and all that. But I would be interested to see more of Zhou if they had a good car. Yeah. You know, he's had some moments where you've been like, oh, he could be okay.
Yeah, so maybe he's going to hang around. Just see how these seats shake out. There's a lot of young drivers coming through, but you see with people like, you know, Nick DeVries or others, if they don't deliver, they'll kick them out pretty quickly. And usually they go back to an old hand, you know, somebody with F1 experience to come back into one of those seats, like a Danny Ric or maybe a Zhou. So,
I think there was talk of him becoming a reserve driver for Ferrari.
Right.
Yeah.
Which means you'll never drive.
Wow.
Test sessions, maybe.
Well, Ollie Bearman got to do it.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. You never know if Hamilton wants to quit again.
Yeah.
I mean, Hamilton, this whole race, I mean, there was mostly like dejected and I want to retire the car. And at one point he was asking, is the car broken? They're like, no, the car's fine. Just not balanced.
I mean, he's been second best to Russell, hasn't he, for a few races now?
Yeah.
I mean, all season. I would say, they were saying, I think it was, who was the announcer? Not Button. My gosh, who's the past F1 driver that's in the announcer? Who? No, not Cole.
My God, what's his name?
Why can't I keep wanting to say Jensen Button? No, not
Karoon. Or Anthony Davidson?
No, no. Oh, my gosh.
Julian Palmer.
No. Way better of a driver than any of these guys. Like a legit driver. He's
Damon Hill.
No. Brundle. A younger guy. Oh, now we have to finish this out. We have to get
it. Is he British? Are we doing 20 questions?
Yeah, British.
British driver, not Karoon Chandhok.
And he was a commentator?
Button, Coulthard.
Is it? Oh, is it Button? I'm sorry. It's
got to be Button or Davidson or...
Yeah. Sorry. Button.
Karoon.
Button. Now I even lost my train of thought on that whole tangent right there.
Hey, we got to Jensen Button. You're pressing the wrong buttons. You're getting your buttons confused.
I can't even remember what I was going to say. Anyway, Lewis, rough race.
He's not been, he's been the second best driver on that team for a few races.
Oh, that's what it was. I think Button was saying during the race that George has had the better of him these last few races. And in my mind, I'm like, it's been basically the whole year.
Right.
Right? I mean, even last year, this is the third year they're racing together, right? Because the first year, George actually like came on the spot and was battling him. And for a good stretch, there was times where it looked like George had the better of him. And then I think Lewis kind of came back at the end of the year. Yeah.
Well, Lewis year was two, testing, like was what? Testing all the, because they had the port.
Between. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Lewis was the one testing all the.
The newest. Systems. Yeah. Then year two, Lewis looked like he was kind of in form and they probably were a little bit neck and neck. But this year, George has clearly been the front runner.
Yeah.
You know, Lewis has had maybe some moments, but.
They have similar points, basically, then right next to each other in the in the standings, you know. So.
And Lewis probably isn't getting all the intel since all the news dropped before the season actually started, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely got to be some of that.
But yeah, I would agree with you that from at least what it looks, not looking at the points, from how it looks on track, it looks like George has dominated most of the season in my mind.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we hear that there was like something going on with the lights on the safety car.
Oh yeah,
during the cool down room, I didn't notice it during the race, but
On the safety car where Max had where he was losing the rear end, apparently the lights never went out on the safety car. So that's why they were saying that he maybe didn't go as early as he did on that second safety car restart. So right, they were having some issues there.
The lights are supposed to go out. That tells you that the car is going in.
Right.
And
if they didn't, then maybe he didn't have a chance to heat up his tires like he wanted to or something like that. Or
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of administrative question marks this race for sure, which I don't know how much of those things are attached to the new race director, but you certainly have to question it when it's a new race director out of the blue, by the way.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, all this craziness starts to happen. Not a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we don't know all the inner meetings that they're having in the FIA and at F1 and all that, but it did seem very abrupt that Niels Wittich ended up leaving and that this guy that no one's ever heard of ends up being in charge, and then all of these issues start happening. So
this is why we need Nick. Nick would know all this stuff.
the other thing that people are tracking is it Pierre Gasly that hasn't had any damage to his car this whole season? Is that right? Yeah, he's at $0 spent, no crashes, no, not even a wing mirror fallen off his car.
Yes.
which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
They're super impressive.
I mean, he's been driving well recently too.
Yeah. I don't know if that means that you're not driving aggressive enough or, you know, you're being too cautious. I hope not, but
Gasly's never had a lack of aggression.
he's had his fair share of bumper cars in the past, but we'll see if he can close out the season next week.
Yeah.
With a clean sweep.
Yeah. So winners and losers. I mean, obviously Max a winner again. Unfortunately for Red Bull, they are officially out of the Constructors Championship contention.
Right. I mean, yeah, because basically Max has been fighting that one-handed on his own the entire season. Checo's been doing nothing.
Yeah.
They should just,
save the money. Run then, one car.
And then the news drops today that, I don't know if it's like official yet, but Nick sent it to us that it seems like, as we've all expected, that Checo is on his way out the building at the end of, it seems like they're having a meeting the day after the last race. So,
yeah, I mean, supposedly there's wiggle room in this 2-year contract that he signed.
Well, he'll just be an ambassadorial role if he doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
That is not great for Checo. More winners, Pierre and Alpine, kind of securing, well, not necessarily securing, but in a very good position for keeping P6 in the championship.
Yeah, they've got their 5 points ahead of Haas right now.
And RB is just...
And RB's on 46 points, just behind. So 46... 54, 59.
Yeah, 8 points behind Haas and 13 points behind Alpine in P6.
Well, Alpine have made the decision to sit Esteban Ocon, and they're going to put Jack Doohan in the seat
next week. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know,
wow.
Maybe they don't, I don't know if they really care that much about their position in the constructors. So, they're basically saying give him a chance to drive Formula One this year so it's not his first race next year. You know, Ocon's going over to Haas, so maybe they don't see any issue there. But
well, there's been talk of replacing Jack before the season has even started yet. I don't remember who they were talking about replacing.
Well, maybe he better do well next week. He won't get his seat next year. So
that's a good point.
That's some pressure. But yeah.
And Haas really blew this race with Nico having such a poor race.
Yeah.
Because they were strong.
They had pace, yeah.
I mean, Kevin finished in the points.
Yeah.
In but they P9.
Looked like they could have done a lot more with him spinning out. And Joe got driver of the day, right? Which is probably a lot of sentimental voting going on there. It wasn't exactly a slam dunk win, I think, from the percentages, but you know, good on him.
Yeah. I mean, he moved up 5 places in the race.
Yeah. Well, were there 5 retirements? Right. No, but yeah, he beat plenty of people there.
But I mean, four of them started behind him.
I mean, Bottas was 11th. You know, he was unlucky not to get points as well. So it was a great showing by Sauber all around. So, you know, good for them. I saw the guys running out onto the pit wall to celebrate as the cars came through, which is fun. These guys work hard all year. So, they'll take something.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on to losers. I mean, obviously, McLaren he got a put there. I mean, they had a pretty, they were going to look, be looking comfortable going into the last race, and that is not the case anymore. I mean, they are just 21 points ahead of Ferrari in the constructors.
Yeah. It's a nice cushion, but yeah.
If we have another situation like this race, next race, then could be, could swing your guys' way.
Yeah, we'll see if how critical those 2 points that Norris eked out today are after the race next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's not forget, Carlos also took a hit, you know, in his the
true
the with pop the front puncture. Front left.
Yeah, exactly. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, pretty good recovery drive, all things considered, from Carlos after that, ending up in what, P6? Pretty good. And then RB losers, like we said, and then Williams. Franco out on the first lap and Albon the last driver to complete the race. So
that's they really just it. Don't have money. They're out of money because they were good for most of the year.
Yeah.
And now they're just looking bad.
With their 16 or 17 crashes on the season. So,
yeah,
brutal. And Martin, that leads us into Coops.
Yeah, I mean, a tough week this week, with a lot of shuffling going on. So lower scores, top score this week was 215 points by
good.
Stazen 80, Edderley and Box behind with 194 points each. No change in the overall standings. Top four guys all holding station. R. Heatley still in first. Prancing to first, still in second. Mark, you're right there.
They gained only 10 points on him, though, so it's going to take a lot this last round.
It's there for the taking. You know, there's potentially 400-plus points each week available. So anything close to 300, you got a good shot. So you just got to put the right scores in. Nick up to 17th.
Yeah, he had a big week. He was the 13th highest scoring points.
Yeah,
this
week. Could he make it into the top 10? Maybe. You dropped six spots.
Yeah,
Jason, and I'm sure I actually rose up 15 points, but still in the low hundreds. So there's always next year.
Yeah.
One more.
What are
week.
You, Lewis?
I'm giving up. I'm shutting the whole site down.
Yeah.
I'm taking my football and going home.
I'm taking this season as a win from how it started to where I am now.
Shoot, you did. Yeah, you last year you had a blinder, right? You were right at the top the whole season. This year you started off terribly, so you've brought yourself all the way back. So can you keep that momentum going next year?
Yeah.
We'll see.
And then we have one race left, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, no double points this year. The whole Abu Dhabi double that they instituted a few years ago, just not happening. But yeah.
It was a one and done, right?
One and done, yeah. But should be a good race. Like, everybody's all eyes on Ferrari and McLaren, so they're at the front. And, you know the other drivers will still want to get that win. You know, Max will be in there and Russell and Hamilton too. Let's see.
Yeah, and it looks like it's not a track that suits any particular car that much, which is nice. You know, pretty mixed up high speeds, medium, some long straights and tight corners. So, yeah, we should have hopefully a driver's battle versus a track-specific one.
Right, yeah, just managing tires and stuff like that, yeah.
He has to give up the corner. I had to nose ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Qatar Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the final race of the season, the 2024 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. See you then.